Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of his kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace. In all our weakness, sustain us by your true and living bread, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Some of us don't necessarily enjoy conflict, but when forced into a corner, there will be consequences. I want to thank Jim for his bold honesty this morning. The truth must be spoken. Jesus is in dialogue with a crowd today. When he is in dialogue with a crowd, he tries to teach them. He has extraordinary patience, phenomenal compassion. But he is fully human and fully divine, and therefore he has a fuse that eventually grows short. A group of people decide that they've gotten used to Jesus' patterns of behavior, places he'll be, things he'll do. And so they decide that he should be in a certain location when they expect him to be there. And when they eventually find him, they say, "Why weren't you there? What seems to be the problem? You are not meeting our every expectation. By the way, we tell you what you're going to do. We tell you when you're going to do it. We tell you how. We tell you why." And Jesus' response, as you can well imagine, is done ever so gently. Ever so gently. So what's happening in the passage? Jesus has decided that he's going to teach them a centerpiece of the faith, and that is the power of the bread of life. That God has given them this extraordinary gift of his life and ministry, and that there will be a gentle reminder of that life and gift in what we celebrate each Sunday as communion. Now, here's a guess that many of you have come here to hear a word directly from God. Your life may well be in a situation that you need to hear directly from God. Some of you are trusting that in the celebration of the Eucharist today, that you will have an encounter with Christ and the gift of the body and blood of Christ to sustain you, to fill you with the reminder of his love and his hope for you. And some of you are trusting that through the liturgy or the music or the word, that the Holy Spirit will affirm, encourage, support you in your journey. Jesus is trying to say all of this in today's gospel to the crowd that has gathered to criticize him for being in the wrong spot at the wrong time. Furthermore, lunch was great yesterday. What are we having today? This speaks to an extraordinary delicate matter to which I referred to earlier as truth-telling. And dealing with conflict situations that are so profoundly painful that we choose to avoid them if we can. So here we go. Have you ever heard of something called rice Christians? It was a term in the 19th century, particularly in China, but throughout Asia as well, where missionaries of the time discovered that the feeding of the congregation every single week increased the numbers dramatically. A matter of fact, if you gave people everything they could eat, they came every week. And in that context, it was rice. And so many became known as rice Christians. Now, it wasn't a particularly critical comment. But as time passed and situations and circumstances changed, people got jobs, hobbies, and other distractions. And they stopped coming for church. They had their own rice. And the attendance pivoted. You see, the point is that at that time and in that place, it was about how can you feed me physically? Not just once or twice or occasionally, but all the time. Can you assure that I will have my physical needs met at all times and everywhere? There was another phenomenon when there was extraordinary struggles in Europe. And suddenly the preachers of the time were using the pulpit to talk about the conflict and who was responsible and who wasn't and who should be the victor and who shouldn't. And that instead of preaching Jesus, they were preaching a political agenda. And the pews filled to capacity. Everybody wanted to be part of that conversation. And as soon as things began to settle out politically and the topic from the pulpit changed, the attendance plummeted. We all have human needs. Food and the stimulation of the brain, a keen awareness of our conscience. And yet, if that is the motivation for being together as the community of faith, we will continue to see the peaks and valleys of those who choose to say, "You're not meeting my needs where I am in this moment." When the truth is this, we all have one major need, and that is Jesus Christ. We all need Jesus in our lives. We all need his love and his compassion and his mercy. And the symbol of the Eucharist is part of the peak of our celebration of that relationship with him. To know Christ better, to follow his example, to be in relationship with others based on Jesus' example, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is the centerpiece of our worship experience, at least this morning. Now, here's the conflict issue, and it's twofold. One, does that mean it's not Bagel Sunday anymore? No? You missed the point. The point is that our physical needs will not always be met the way we expect them to be met. The second issue is, does that mean you're going to change your political views on the American election? No. I may be silly, but I am not stupid. You have your views, and I need to tell you, I'm praying for peace. and the reign of Christ. What your views may be will never be labeled by me as right or wrong. It's none of my business. I will tell you that I'm praying for peace, no matter who wins that election. Does it mean that I'll change political views on conflict around the world? No. For I pray for peace and reconciliation and a new hope for the next generation. Will preachers be able to avoid conflict from this moment forward? No. But you need to know that my ultimate goal is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you get to know him and experience him through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that every moment that you spend in this room nurtures your soul, and that you feel better when you leave than when you came. Because if the opposite is true, I have failed miserably. But if I can lovingly remind you that there is a God that loves you more than you could possibly imagine and has extraordinary hope for your life and your meaning and purpose, if I can remind you that there is a Spirit that sustains you and lifts you up in the darkest moments of your life, if I can say to you that I believe in a God of love and compassion and mercy, and that you can hear that in such a way that it inspires you to be more, do more, and experience more the love of Christ, then my life as well as yours, will have had profound meaning. Amen.